Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, January 5th, 2024. Hey, got the year right. 16 minutes past the hour, and we've been doing a lot of speculating the last week, and we don't like to speculate, but a lot has been going on here in the city of Marion since the pay raise, the voting for the pay raise here in Marion, then the veto by former Mayor Scott Schertzer, and then the attempt to overturn his veto on New Year's Eve, which was not successful. We've been following that story, and one thing that came out of that story, and I'm going to try to condense this as tightly as I can, Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis announced on December the 11th that she was going to be resigning her position on January the 5th. We learned on New Year's Eve, now again, this is all speculation at this point, that she had retained legal counsel, and that maybe she was reconsidering leaving that position, which would be very interesting. And in fact, former Mayor Schertzer asked at that time Mayor-elect Collins during that open meeting to reveal the contents of the deal that had been made between the two that would have taken her to the transit department. Now, we've been wondering what's going to happen on January 5th, because that's resignation day. Well, we all found out on January 4th at 5 o'clock, a letter came down yesterday, and here it is. I am writing to notify you of my decision to rescind my resignation from the position of City Auditor effective January 5th, 2024. After further reflection, I have realized that my decision was hasty and not in the best interest of myself or of the City of Marion. Since submitting my resignation, I had the opportunity to reassess the situation, and I believe that the circumstances surrounding my resignation need additional review. This has led me to reconsider my decision to resign. Yours sincerely, Miranda McGinnis. Which means Miranda is not leaving her position today, which means Bill Collins will not be able to appoint a new auditor at this time. And here we are. So we needed somebody here who's involved in city council in some way. By the way, I do want to let people know we have invited Bill Collins on. Have not heard anything there. We have invited Miranda on. Haven't heard anything there as of yet. We hope we hear from one of them, because this is becoming a much bigger story than maybe we would have thought. But joining us in studio is Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schaber. We're so glad he's here. Jason, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning.
When you hear that, when you saw that yesterday around 5 o'clock, what'd you think?
I still don't know what to think, and we're the morning after, and I'm trying my hardest to get in Miranda's head to figure out what she's thinking, or even what she was told, or who she was having conversations with to come to this conclusion that her resignation on January 5th isn't a good idea for herself or for the city. I can't dream up a scenario where continuing on as the auditor, being Miranda McGinnis, is good for her personally, because she's gone through brutal meetings and publicly. It was all for public consumption, these meetings that she's gone through. And then the last three meetings, she didn't show up. She sent Martin on her behalf. And she probably sent Martin on her behalf because she was going to resign. And plus, to get away from the heat of these meetings. And I really am having a hard time figuring out how it's in the best interest of the city of Marion for Auditor McGinnis to remain the auditor. Because there's so many, that office is in such disarray. How is it in the best interest of the city for the same people to continue in that office? I can't wrap my hand around it. I don't know what to say. It's just odd.
Now, I want to back up a little bit here because there are some interesting things that happened leading up to this announcement yesterday. Miranda McGinnis came into this position. She was appointed to this position by the Republican Party in Marion. For a while, people thought she was doing a better job than Robert Landon, and then public opinion, or at least the opinion of council and at that time Mayor Schertzer, turned against her. I think that was in October. And her resignation was asked for, and she came on this show and said there is no circumstance under which she would resign. On election night, she was in here and said there is no circumstance under which she would resign. And then a month later, she resigned. Mm-hmm. Now, that was suspect at the time. Now, the reason that became suspect was because in her resignation letter, she said she had accepted another position with the city. We all learned that was in the transit department. And Bill Collins did admit in an email to me, and I think, I did check on this, in the city council meeting on December 11th, when he was questioned if he offered her a position, he did deny it in the meeting.
Okay.
I did check on that.
Okay.
Now, when the next morning, when I started talking about it, he did send me an email, which I've talked about this, which says he can't give her the position because he was not mayor on December 11th, but when he became mayor, she would be offered the position. So that is the story leading up to yesterday. But then Miranda kind of disappeared. And a matter of fact, in that meeting on December 11th, there's a lot of things going on here. Miranda McGinnis did not attend that meeting. It was the night of a city council meeting that she resigned. Bill Collins, interestingly enough, got up during that meeting and said, "This has been handed to you on a silver platter. You know, you guys should be happy. Why are you arguing about when she's going to leave?" Because that was the conversation. Should she be gone now, or should we wait for January the 5th? So all this is going on, and we came to last Sunday, which was mainly the meeting, the special meeting on New Year's Eve, was about pay raises. But during that meeting, Bill Collins was not happy, for anybody who listened to the tape that we played, and wanted to know why Mayor Schertzer stopped at a city council person's house on his way over there so the meeting could not happen. And this was asked twice, and even council president at that time, former council president Todd Schneider, had to bang the gavel mm-hmm. during that. And the line was, when Bill Collins is asking Mayor Schertzer this, I'll answer that question when you reveal the contents of your meeting with the auditor. And then we spoke with Mayor Schertzer after, and, you know, have you changed your mind on this meeting with the auditor situation? And he said it keeps getting shadier and shadier. And now she doesn't leave.
There's something there.
But what is it?
I don't know. I absolutely have no clue.
Now, here's the big question. Going into a council meeting on Monday, is there any way, and listen, the finances of the city of Marion are important. No doubt about it. But it's no longer the lead story now.
No, and that is sad, unfortunate, and how do we redirect council to focus on the important issues, which the auditor's office is very important, but it seems like that's all we can talk about is, I don't want to say petty, but things that really do not move the city forward in fixing our financial issues.
And I think that's probably right. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of people would say, and I don't know if you are of this mind as well, Miranda McGinnis staying in this position does not move.
No. That's why it's hard for me to figure out. It does nothing in the best interest of the city. It just continues this conversation of absolute BS of who made what deal, who made this deal, and we're, like you said, we're focused on the wrong things. And I don't know. It's disappointing, frustrating, and when you're one of nine, at some point you have to realize that you just have to sit back for a moment and let the other eight do something else, and just, I don't know. I guess my goal for Monday, going in Monday's meeting, is because I know this is going to be a topic of contention and be brought up, I'm just going to do my best to sit in my chair, sit back, and not engage in the nonsense, which is what I think it is, just nonsense.
Does somebody have to ask Bill Collins or Miranda McGinnis in an open meeting what happened here? Because if we know what happened and it was nothing terrible, then I think common wisdom would say you could move beyond it.
So as simple as that question sounds, so if let's say I asked that.
Yeah.
How Miranda or Collins responds to that will lead to another snowball effect of, well, you said this on this date. This is contrary to what you said now. So now we're pointing fingers that you lied. And it. I don't see what we gain by knowing exactly what happened between those two, what meetings they had and what conversations were made. So if there was a deal, I will give you this job for your resignation. Miranda chose to not resign. So that deal's done. So isn't that situation done, other than it was a bad look at the time?
Well, it's interesting because you would think so, but if that's the reason she's not resigning is because of the circumstances of the deal and her feeling uncomfortable. And again, we don't know if that's what it is because nobody's gotten an answer out of either one of them as to why any of this has happened. Mm-hmm. Then I would say it probably is still valid if that's the reason she did not resign.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so not really wanting to get too deep in the woods and assuming and trying to figure out what those circumstances for her to not resign. So Miranda is the auditor, so she should have a good idea of the finances, good idea of what grants are coming in, and how the city are affected by grants that potentially may not be coming in. Now, I don't have a whole lot of facts. But I do know that our transit grant had some issues. And our transit department covers, our transit department is paid for by a grant. And we had some issues to where our 2024 funding has some questions whether or not it will fund the full year.
Now, this becomes important for people who are listening. And again, this is a lot of information to throw at people. That's where she was headed.
Yes, that's where she was
headed. The transit department.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not painting a complete picture here, but...
No, it's a big picture to paint this morning.
Right. So Miranda was promised this job. Being the auditor, she knows this information. I think she does.
She is aware of this.
She
may not
have
been aware on December 11th.
Right. But as the auditor, big picture, she should have had a handle on this. But I think as this grant came to light and then putting two and two together, some of these grants, once you make a mistake on, you can't get them back. So there's a question if this grant covers all of 24 or how far it goes, and then will the general fund have to pick up what the grant isn't doing? Can the city afford that? There's a question of if we cannot get this grant, general fund can't afford it, what do we do? Do we merge with another county? I know there's Seneca and Crawford that has merged already. That could be a possibility. So maybe she's looking at all this and thinking, well, grant money's running out, we messed this up, transit department will be going through a change, and I've already made mistakes in the auditor's office. Am I being set up to be the pawn or the fall lady in the transit department? I don't know. So it's a bit of speculation what she's thinking, but it's fact that we have funding issues grant-wise for the Marion Area Transit.
There are two important issues off of that statement, one for the citizens of Marion and one for this auditor situation. Would Bill Collins have known this when he offered her the position?
I think he should have. Yeah, but I don't. So if that question is leading, did Collins know that there wasn't going to be a transit, and he's trying to set her up to be the scapegoat for the reason why the transit has going through a transition. I don't want to say that Collins would actually do. I don't think people are that despicable. But
what if we find out that that is the case?
I would have a different view of people for sure.
Now, the other question is, how does this affect the citizens of Marion who use Marion Area Transit every day?
It shouldn't affect them at all. So I don't want people to panic. Don't panic. And actually, I believe if the goal was to merge with Seneca and Crawford, Marion Area Transit will go from just within the city and it'll expand countywide. So we actually gain services there.
So now the people who work for Marion Area Transit at this point should not be concerned.
No. So what I know is very preliminary, and it could all change. Whoever gives us this grant could change their mind and say, well, you've had issues at the city, reapply, we'll keep things the way they are, or they could say, no, since you have issues at the city, let's merge you with the two other counties or merge you with someone else, and that way you can provide even more service. Because I believe there's a need for county transit, not just within the city, because if you look, you see the Seneca Crawford buses in Marion County a lot.
Now, there's one thing I want to talk about here in regard to Miranda's resignation, because, and correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, but her resignation had been called for, and there was a process that had been looked into to remove her from office because she had said many times she was not leaving that office. Mm-hmm. Well, when the resignation came down on December 11th, no real need to continue with that process because she's leaving on January the 5th. She's not leaving on January the 5th. So is that process going to continue to forcibly remove her?
I don't believe. So Aaron Rollins was the council person that figured out how to remove her through the courts. He was heading that up.
And it wouldn't be as long a process as we thought.
Right. I've heard it could be... it could be heard through the court system within 10 to 14 days. But I don't know if that's the case, or it could go as long as 6 months. I don't know. But I do believe Mr. Rollins never stopped moving that forward.
And I believe...
Even once he found out the resignation, because she still had to get to the January 5th date.
And that didn't happen.
And that did not happen. We at least I had a suspicion that There's the chance that she won't resign. And, well, she took that chance. She did not resign.
Now, before we knew, in her own words, why she did not resign, why did you have that hesitancy that she wasn't going to resign?
I don't know if it's a hesitancy or if it's just looking at all the options, all the variables that could go into and try to plan what could happen, and if this scenario plays out, what do we do to remedy it? Because my ultimate goal, it's an unfortunate goal, is that Miranda McGinnis is no longer the auditor because she is not a good auditor for the city of Marion.
And she's aware that a process was started.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. So she knows this.
She knows that. And I sat down with her and direct terms explained to her that the Miranda McGinnis being the city auditor for the next term, that train has left the station. She will not be the auditor going into her new term. At some point, she will be removed, and I don't know how that's going to happen, but there's no stopping it.
So that's why, again, this is a very peculiar morning. She knows that city council wants to remove her, knows that it can be done, apparently fairly expediently. Mm-hmm. She was offered another position that would have kept a paycheck coming into her house.
For at least potentially the next year.
A little while.
Right.
And yet she still doesn't leave and says it's in her best interest and the best interest of the city. Which, you know, again, I hate to be speculative here, but that would lead you to believe, and also the fact that she waited until 5 o'clock the day before to do it, would lead you to believe, oh, and by the way, a whole nother ripple here, the auditor could have gotten a pay raise. It could have happened.
Right, and that's part of the looking at all the scenarios and variables that go in. So when we was thinking about the auditor and that pay raise, that was a very viable direction it could have gone. She could have realized that raise, and then I don't.
Well, and see,
but it's still the train still left. She would have realized that raise if it would have went through. But at some point, I do believe that this council and the city will separate relationships from Miranda McGinnis.
And that is also, just for the record, another odd part of this, because she certainly knew when she rescinded her resignation yesterday that the raise was not there, that the pay was going to stay
right
at $64,000.
Right.
And Bill Collins is on record at the meeting to try to overturn the veto saying, how am I supposed to get an auditor for $64,000?
Well, I think he found a way.
Well, she's staying.
Yep.
For the time being. And now, here are two very important questions about this. Okay, I'm guessing that everybody expected her to move over to the transit department today or Monday. Yep. That was the idea. I would have also assumed, and again, I guess maybe you shouldn't assume, that Bill Collins had chosen somebody. I don't think you'd wait till the day before to select somebody for this position. And Ayers Ratliff called in on Sunday from vacation to say at that point that there had even been an email sent out to counsel from Bill Collins last week that he had found somebody. It was a female. She had financial experience. I think Ayers said this on Sunday.
Oh, I'm looking at my phone to see if I got that email.
Yeah, it would have been sometime last week.
Last week.
And I don't think the person was named at that point, but Ayers said that on Sunday, and that's as much as I knew about that. So,
well, yeah, it very well could have happened, because that was the, I know that Collins was really interested in getting an actual resignation date, because I believe that allowed him to start searching for somebody. Because so December 11th, when she said she would resign, or the 18th, whatever it was, said she was going to resign on the 5th, that opened up the doors for Collins to search for someone. So he may have found somebody. I don't know, but I'm not finding any emails.
But at this point, it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. It doesn't matter.
So the point of this, again, how ticked must Bill Collins be as of 5 o'clock yesterday?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough for me to get in some people's head and tougher for others. I don't know. He's probably as confused as I am as to why she chose not to resign. Is she going to resign in a couple weeks and say that it's on her terms?
There is a sentence in here that's important. Yes, she does say for her best interest and the best interest of the city of Marion, she's saying. But in the second paragraph, she says, I'll just read the whole thing again. Since submitting my resignation, I have had the opportunity to reassess the situation, and I believe the circumstances surrounding my resignation need additional review.
So, in the circumstances surrounding her resignation, that's why I brought up the transit part of the grant oopsie that we have in the funding. Is that it? I don't know. I don't know. We can read all kinds of things in there. We can read into it that someone said something to her at the time that she said that she wanted to resign. And after looking back on that conversation she had, she was offended or felt a certain way. I don't know. We can spend hours trying to figure out that circumstance.
And I think that comes back to the question where we started. Is anybody ever going to ask her, now that she's staying, or ask Bill, just because he's the only other person in this meeting, what happened there?
Well, so I guess the question that I will ask Monday night to Miranda, if she shows, because I don't even know if she's going to continue to come to
this is a whole other question
to council meetings, because or if she's going to send Martin or someone else on her behalf, I don't know. But whoever is there representing the auditor's office, I'm going to ask them, what's your plan moving forward? Your old plan didn't work; it was a terrible failure. So, who are you going to change in that office? Who are you going to bring in that office? How are you as an individual going to change? Because you as an individual showed up to several meetings stating that you will get back to us the next meeting with information and failed miserably, had nothing to say whatsoever. So, what changes are you going to make? Because I want to get away from this going back to the he said, she said deals and whatnot deals. We have to move Marion forward with our fixing our financial mess, and this soap opera BS stuff that we're dealing with has got to stop.
Isn't there some validity, though, to the idea that the reason we have a soap opera is because since December 11th, nobody has said what happened in that meeting, and many people have asked, including former Mayor Schertzer, Ayers Ratliff, Mary Ellen Withrow, the media, and nobody's answering it. Right. It's easy to get rid of drama like that. Just tell us what happened in the meeting. If nothing went on that was untoward,
right?
I hate to speculate again, but don't you find it odd that nobody's willing to talk about that meeting?
I believe that our Monday meeting, we're going to talk a lot about that. We're not going to talk about anything important, but we'll talk a lot about that meeting. And this is an important thing. So I guess I should say I hope that our conversation Monday night is productive around whatever transpired for her resignation, how it was garnered, how it was rescinded. All that information should be laid out publicly for the public to consume, make their own decisions and opinions, and move the hell forward and put this in our rearview mirror.
I think the big thing becomes, on the whole, to continue to remove her, even if you feel she is a bad auditor and has caused a lot of problems at this point, without knowing what exactly happened from December 11th until now, might not look so great, on the whole.
So, I'm trying to understand what you're asking. So, continuing to remove her
without understanding how we got to this point, because now it's not before.
I know why I want Miranda McGinnis gone.
Right, right.
There's 2 years of history of why she should not be there. However, the whatever transpired between December 11th and January 4th. Does not change my opinion on whether she should still be the city auditor.
Well, let me put it this way, because this was said on the air again by Ayers Ratliff, and I want to make sure I say this exactly correct. Mm-hmm. Ayers said he did not hear this firsthand, but it was the talk at City Hall, and I'm not sure who he heard it from, but he did say it on the air, so it's not like I'm talking out of school here. Mm-hmm. He said that the word was that Miranda had gotten legal representation, and the reason being was that she might have felt intimidated or bullied into resigning that position. And those, Ayers' understanding, and I think a lot of people's, are crimes. You cannot do that.
Yeah, I heard Mr. Ratliff saying that it's illegal or it's a crime to intimidate.
Yes, yes.
It's illegal or it's a crime to say that you'll be removed by choice or by force. I said those things. Come lock me up. Okay. And I said them publicly. I really don't care. She is a public official. She was voted on by the people. You have to have thick skin. If you just want to say all of a sudden, I'm bullied, I feel intimidated, I'm sorry. I'm a different person. I don't intimidate people. I don't get intimidated by anybody. I'm not scared of anybody. I'm sorry, but you put yourself out there to be the auditor. You have to take all the accolades and the criticisms. So I just don't buy that all of a sudden she feels bullied.
I would guess at some point you can say we're going to remove you because we're going to do that.
Why would we sit there quiet? There were several council members that sat there. I don't even think they knew how to speak. They vocalized nothing when Robert Landon was destroying the city's finances. What's changed? There's some of those individuals that wouldn't speak on Robert. They are now getting vocal on Miranda. So are they bullying her now? Because it's a huge change from saying absolutely nothing to now saying she has to go. And so they're bullying them. They should be convicted of a crime too.
But I don't think they offered her another position to leave that position.
Right. Yes. Yeah,
that's the difference, I think.
And council doesn't have that power.
No. And I think that's probably the difference, because that's a deal based upon intimidation. And again, we don't know if that happened.
Right. Right. But I'm sure Monday we will have a conversation. And also, when we have that conversation, I hope we get it all out there. But the problem is, I know more questions will be brought up from what people say, and it's just going to be a terrible cycle. But if Rollins does pursue to remove her through the courts, I'm pretty sure all that will come out in the courts.
And isn't that ultimately a problem? As I say again, she could be a bad auditor, and she might need to be removed. And as a matter of fact, when her resignation was originally called for by Mayor Schertzer, by city council members in the paper who were called at that point, and there were others who I think wanted her to be gone as well, that was not a big deal. That had happened before, as a matter of fact, with Robert Landon. The difference here was the way that it happened, and now the fact that it's not happening, possibly because of the way that happened.
So I will say this. Miranda, like anyone else, and even Robert, should be treated with respect and keep their dignity intact as they are removed or as they separate from the city. If it demonstrates that someone was giving her information, misleading her to form a decision, and knowing that in the end that decision that they would have made is going to vanish, go away, that's wrong on every level. And that should never happen to anyone. No one should be treated that way.
And that being said, I guess that's where I'm getting back to continue to try to remove her amidst not knowing the answers to these questions. Is that the best thing to do?
Yes, because Miranda McGinnis as the auditor, and it is not something that can carry on in the future. Because so let's say that she was mistreated, misled to come to the conclusion that she should resign and take a different position. That reflects on the individual that set that scenario up. It does not change the fact that for the past 2 years, she just doesn't know how to be the auditor.
Is that the way the city should be running? This possibly could have happened. That there might have been intimidation. There might have been.
No. We should not treat anyone in this scenario, because we don't know if that's happened. But if you look at everything, it potentially could, but could have happened that way. I don't know. But
you know Mayor Schertzer well. If he calls in an interview with the media a deal shady, getting shadier and shadier, do you think there's nothing there?
You just have to step back and say this is politics, and I think everyone's time is valuable. And this, to me, this situation is a time stealer, because we're putting a lot of time and effort into finding out all this other noise to figure out exactly what happened, to what end. So if we find out that Collins did bully her, intimidated her, or whatever she's claiming, and that made her resign, I'll keep going back to the fact that she still could not do the job. So what do we do? We figured out, yes, Collins is mean. He's a bully. Okay, so what? We still have a financial mess. Oh. We're still trying to cover our payroll, and so great. So do we make a declaration that this is Bill Collins Bully Day on January 5th or whatever day? And then do we move on? How do we get away from this once we establish whatever happened?
Well, I think a lot of people feel that. You're exactly right. If there's an auditor in that position who can't do the job, they shouldn't be in that position. But I think a lot of people would also feel if you have a mayor in a position doing things that should not be done, you're not holding him to the same standard that you're holding her. You're saying, well...
I will not go that far that if it does come out... Well, I know for a fact this will happen. If it does come out that whatever Collins and Miranda, whatever happened in their conversations... It turns out that he did do some things that isn't appropriate. I guarantee you he will be pounced on by counsel. I mean, that's the vicious cycle that we're in. We're focused on other things instead of the important things. And we all have to remember, the city of Marion voted Mayor Collins in.
They voted McGinnis in at this point.
They voted McGinnis in. So...
Because I want to talk about the city's finances here, because it's important, because I think there's something most people don't know because of the lack of media in this town at this point. But before we go there, on Monday night, because we don't know if McGinnis is going to be there, to be honest.
Correct.
So that being said, if she's not, or if she is, are you going to ask Mayor Collins the same question that you would ask her? What happened here? We need to get past this. The city's got financial issues. We're not going to get past it until somebody says something. What happened?
Yeah, I will not start the conversation. I'm sure without a doubt, I'm sure Mr. Ratliff will bring it up. But if the conversation starts, I will probably join in on the conversation. And I hope that we get all the information out and we can put it behind us.
If it's not answered, then what? Because as you said,
if it's not
causing
answered,
a problem.
I guess I'm going to draw the line at Monday's meeting, and we can hash it out, have it out. If they choose the answer, if they choose to be truthful, if they choose not to be truthful, Monday night is the night that I will allow my time to be spent on this. And after that, whatever falls out, I will not engage any more in that. My goal will be to fix the problems that we've had that was created over the last 4 years. In the auditor's office.
Now, I do have a question about the auditor's office, and somebody approached me with this question. Now, the auditor does not work alone. The auditor's got a staff. And yes. We see Martin Watts a lot, and his name comes up, deputy auditor. There's a staff in that office. Now, again, nobody's giving Miranda McGinnis a pass in saying that she should be unaware of these things that she needs to do. Mm-hmm. But why is nobody else in that office being held to account for anything? Because most of those people were also there under Robert Landon. Miranda McGinnis was not. And when you look at that, you might have a dysfunctional auditor, but I think most people would say, boy, you've got a dysfunctional office. And when we talked last, I said, well, how is the next person who goes in there not going to be set up for failure? You said they probably will, that we might lose another auditor because this mess is so big. But the people in the office have all kept their jobs. The people wouldn't Martin Watts, wouldn't other people in that office know that those forms need to be filed? And why do we always hear about these fines from, in many circumstances, Martin? Why doesn't he go to Miranda before the fines accrue, his boss, and say, hey, we're not filing the correct paperwork here?
Well, with Robert Landon and Miranda, neither one of them had any managerial skills. Miranda's young, and she just doesn't have the life experience they just don't know how to manage an office. So they weren't surrounded by good individuals. Martin is the common denominator between Robert and Miranda, and you can look at that two different ways. Is he the common denominator that helped bridge the changeover between Robert and Landon, and it was a good thing, or Martin was with Robert and made the mistakes with him, and since he is the common denominator, transitioned over with Miranda, we still have the same issues. You can go either way with that, but if Miranda was to leave, Martin is the chief deputy, and that's an appointed position, so whoever will come over there, come into that office, I'm sure that would be a position they would consider a change in. And there's two or three other positions that are appointed that I'm sure a new person, or even if, since Miranda's staying, she needs to look at those positions and saying, are these people actually performing the way I need them to perform? If they're not, she needs to take a hard look at that, because this is where your management skills come in. You have to make that decision. If Martin is the common denominator that goes back to the mistakes, then she needs to sit down with Martin and say, Martin, this is the deal. You're tied to all these mistakes with myself and with Robert. You got to go.
Do you feel, and there are other people in there besides Martin, he's just been the most visible in this particular case, but do you believe that that office is functional? Shouldn't somebody in there know about filing paperwork with the IRS and things of that nature?
Dysfunctional? Yes, that's probably a kind way to describe that office. I think anyone that knows how to read and has the physical abilities to open envelopes should know how to figure out, would figure out dates things are due. So it's not difficult.
Right, so can we really, and even Robert Landon, and we certainly know the problems there were there, can we really 100% lay it on either one of these people? Yes, they're elected. Yes, they get to set up their offices. But the problems that come from them, can we lay it 100% on them?
Yes.
On the elected official.
So, as the elected official, that's where the buck stops. You chose the people that surround you to do their different job functions. They're failing at that. And even with the case of Miranda, she was contacted out 12, 13, 14 times from our police and fire pension for a past due contribution that was supposed to be sent to them on behalf of the employees. Multiple times made contact and just ignore it. So how can you ignore phone calls that are coming directly to you? How can you allow your staff to ignore letters that are coming in saying these are past due? To me, a simple fix is respond.
Well, and I think I'm right about this, and I could be wrong because I don't think I've seen the agenda yet. But isn't Monday the third reading of No Confidence in the Auditor?
So, not to get too technical on how council's changes over. So, typically, the way we've done it in the past is when a council session ends, if they didn't get their business done, it just stops. The new council comes in, they start fresh, and then if there's anything that the new council wants to bring back up from the previous council, they can do that, and it should start all over. That's the way we used to do it. Well, for whatever reason, Mark Russell said, nope, all that carries over. So yes, the no confidence vote per Mark Russell will hit Monday night as a third reading.
And now that's in Miranda McGinnis, who stays in the position.
And now she is no longer resigning, and she will be faced with that Monday.
So, just to be clear again, the process to remove her now either will continue or will start again, depending on what's been done.
I have not spoke with Aaron Rollins. Again, Aaron was the point person that found this way, and I've not spoke with him. So that tells me that he's not changed his mind, because I'm sure he would have reached out if he decided not to pursue that. So I'm just going to go with the assumption that it's still going to move forward.
Now, the thing that I think most people don't know about, again, because of the news vacuum in Marion right now, beginning of the year, a budget is prepared.
Right.
And city council votes on a budget.
Yep.
Apparently, that did not go through for a year last Monday. Is that correct? A quarterly budget was passed?
Yes. So we took the appropriation and expense ordinance, and we, and Twyla Lang, a new council member, she made an amendment to have a budget of 25% or the first quarter. And we would revisit it between now and our first meeting in April. So, yes, we passed it, in a sense, in a first-quarter budget, 90-day budget, or 25% budget, however you want to look at it. It's just to pay salaries, and, well, they get it. They have their full budget at their disposal, but they can only spend 25% of it.
What was the problem between the mayor and city council as to why the yearly budget could not be passed?
I don't know why he has a problem with it. That he has to figure out how government works.
He has a problem with it.
Yeah, he appeared not happy to me. His body language told me that he was not happy with us as a council passing a portion of a budget instead of the whole thing. And the risk we ran, at least in my view, in my feeling of how things usually go on council, is that if we would have voted up or down for what was in front of us, which was complete trash, you would have got a no vote from me, and I would assume that others would vote no because of the trash that was presented to us as a expense ordinance, because the numbers were wrong. The revenues or the expenses exceeded revenues that the city's not even realized revenues that high. We have to pass a balanced budget. So we would have voted up or down on that budget. Let's say it failed. Now you don't have any money appropriated into salaries. You can't pay, you by law, because we didn't pass the appropriations, you can't cut checks to employees. That's the last thing I want to happen.
So where did the paperwork that you said was trash come from? Who produced that?
The auditor's office.
The auditor's office.
Right.
And who puts together the budget?
So the way Schertzer did it, he would meet with his department heads. They would formulate what they need for the next year. And it basically like a copy and paste from the previous years to the next years. You adjust the salaries for whatever contract was negotiated, or what the increases are built in, and what insurance, what increase was for the insurance. So, and then the mayor puts that together as his expenses for these departments. Then it goes to the auditor's office. They put the numbers, the facts, supposed to be the factual numbers to it. And then it comes to council for a vote.
And how did Mayor Collins do it?
Well, see, that's incoming council members and incoming mayor candidates. They don't have a say in that, because we start that in the October, November.
So this
before.
Was prepared.
It was prepared. Yeah. So they go in. Newly elected candidates or officials are kind of at a disadvantage because they don't have a say in it. But the way we eventually passed the appropriation and expense ordinance, we were giving Collins a say, and he can go back to the department heads and say, are these in fact the numbers you need to get through 2024?
So if he was not a part of the preparation process, why so upset when it wasn't passed?
I don't want this to sound the way it, or don't want this to come across the way it sounds, but I believe his frustration was based in ignorance, not knowing exactly what council was trying to do, which is actually helping him give him a look at what, or allowing him to look at the budget, which he wants to do. And he said he sent us all an email saying that he's going to, in the first month, he's going to go over the budget with his department heads and refine some numbers and come back to council. That's all we were doing, and he just didn't understand that.
And this was talked about during the election. For the first time in at least 50 years, when you have a mayor coming in who has no legislative experience, and it would have been the same with Glenn Coble,
mm-hmm.
is this a good idea? Is this going to be rough? Because we all
it's going to be rough. We even new council members, they got to learn council rules, how to conduct a meeting. I would. This isn't a negative criticism for the new council members, but I would go as far as to say some of them don't even know how to form a motion, or that it even needs a second to conduct business in a meeting. So it's going to be a bit rough. The meetings will be a bit clunky. We even have a new council president that runs the meetings. So and she did a great job on our first meeting Monday, but she's gonna be faced with a contentious meeting this coming Monday. So she's gonna learn quickly.
Things matter, especially when you're the chief executive for the city of Marion, which I believe the mayor is. And I'm only asking this because there have been a series of events that we've reported on, one of which being when the auditor initially resigned, Bill Collins stood up in the meeting, not so happy, and said, you know, this has been handed to you on a silver platter. Why are you objecting to this? Then there was the incident with the pay raises, in which he was not happy that anybody would vote against the pay raises, and let that be well known. Then there was the incident with the former mayor when he yelled at him or accused him. Let's say not yelled. He accused him of something in an open meeting to the point where the gavel had to be banged on him by the president of city council. He was upset Monday when the budget did not go the way he wanted. Do you think Bill Collins has a temperament problem?
I'm still forming my, not opinion, but my view of Mr. Collins. I've not came to any conclusion on what his temperament is yet. I've seen some things, and so that's a time will tell.
Was it good that the raises were vetoed?
Absolutely.
Why did so many people vote for him and then yet not show up to overturn the veto? Because I believe only you were the only person to vote against them. Wasn't that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. But yet, when it came to overturning the veto, five people showed up.
I think on the meeting to overturn, that's a direct reflection on the individuals that actually showed up. That's something they would have to answer. I can put my spin on why they did what they did. I had no intentions. I think I made it pretty clear that I wasn't going to show up. Because to do something on your last day of your term, especially to give raises when it appears you're giving them to your friends, is sleazy at best.
Do you believe that is what it was?
I don't want to think that it was.
But if it was,
I don't want to think that it was.
When you heard or got word about the response from people at that meeting when the veto was not overturned, does that change your opinion?
It does not change my opinion about the individuals that showed up.
And what was your original opinion about them?
Not very high.
And why? Because people are interested. Why is that? Because not everybody attends city council meetings.
Right. So I treat everyone with respect. I don't deal with stupid well. And I don't like sleazy, or I don't like things that are just wrong, and everything about that meeting was wrong.
And on that note, are we making payroll? Are we going to continue to make payroll? Are we going to sell off more investments? Where are we?
As far as I know, and so December, well, I can't remember the date, we divested some funds to cover payroll through the first payroll in January. I can't remember what date that hits. I think it goes through next Friday would be the payroll that we divested funds to cover. I don't have any information if we need to divest more funds to cover the next payroll or the next few payrolls, or if there's revenues coming in that will cover and we'll be fine. I don't know. I don't have any of that information.
How can the city continue to do that? How long can they continue to do that?
I don't think they can continue to do it much longer. The cash flow problem that the city is realizing is self-inflicted. It goes back to the fire truck, and a council member wanted to potentially use some funds, some cash on hand that we had, to purchase the fire truck with cash. Some powers that be decided that that was a bad idea and decided to invest those dollars with the short-sightedness that there's bills coming due and that we actually should have held on to this cash. And so that's how our cash flow problem was self-created. We invested monies that were probably already encumbered, but no one brought that to anyone's attention.
We're coming up on a break. Can you stay for about 10 minutes?
Sure, okay. I can stay however long you want.
I like to hear that. All right, we're going to take a break then, and we're going to come back with Jason Shaba right after this.
Surrounding my resignation, need additional review. This has led me to reconsider my decision to resign. Marion City Council holds their first regular meeting of 2024 on Monday the 8th at 6:30 p.m. City Hall, second floor, Council Chambers, Courtroom 1. They will address proceedings from previous meetings, several items of old business, ordinance requesting additional appropriations to cover